His presence was that of a very god, for he seemed possessed of all power and authority as well as of love and grace. The spirits who were present and who had never seen these qualities of his nature displayed before were awestruck, and like Peter and James and myself on the Mount of Transfiguration, fell to their faces because of the exceeding brightness of his countenance and the glory of his power which illuminated his whole being. When he comes into the spheres lower than that in which he lives, as you would say, he leaves behind him this great brightness and glory, and appears only as a beautiful loving brother spirit. And never before had those spirits who were 218, the Paget Messages 1915, present when he wrote you, seen the wonderful and inspiring appearance which he then showed. I tell you that you are a very favored mortal, and when your faith grows, you will realize what a wonderful mission has been given you to carry out. Now we are all more interested in you than ever, and continually will you have around you some of the high celestial spirits to aid and enlighten you in doing this great work, but the greatest of all will be the Master, for he will be with you often. Now you must strive to attain to the fullness of this divine love and the faith which is so necessary. There is no doubt as to your getting it if you will only pray, and I must tell you here, that you have the prayers of a host of celestial spirits ascending continually to the Father that this faith may be given you in its greatest degree. I, John, tell you this, because I know, and my knowledge is based on fact. So let your prayers go to the Father, and let your trust in the Master and his promises increase, until at last you may realize the wonderful blessings that may be yours. I will not write more tonight, but it will say that very soon the worries will disappear and you will be in condition to resume the writings. With my love and blessings, I'm your brother in Christ, John. I am here, your old partner. I will write only a few lines tonight, as I am in such a condition of wonderment over what took place when Jesus was writing to you last night that I do not feel able to gather my thoughts for extended writing. I want to say that what happened was to me the greatest revelation as to the character or rather the attributes of Jesus that I have seen since I have been in the spirit world. When he wrote to you in his emphatic and authoritative manner, he became transformed into such a being of light and glory and power that none of us could look upon his countenance, and we had to fall upon our faces to hide the brightness of his presence. I tell you it was a wonderful evidence of his greatness and power. Never before had I seen him clothed in such brightness and power. He was always the most beautiful and bright and magnificent of all the spirits, but never was there displayed in him before those appearances which made us think that he must be a very god. I now know as never before that he is the true Son of God and that he is worthy to follow in 219, believe in. What a wonderful spirit he is! All love and power and greatness, and yet all humility. Such a combination of attributes I had no conception could ever exist in the same spirit. Well, my boy, I cannot say much more now, except that you surprise me more and more because of the great favor and blessings you have had conferred upon you. We are all amazed over it, but of course, happy over the fact. You must try your best to do this work, and fulfill the mission for which you have been chosen. What a wonderful Jesus! I cannot help thinking of him and the greatness of his being. I am so glad that I saw him as he appeared when he wrote, because now I have some conception of what the glory and grandeur of the high celestial heavens and their inhabitants must be. I will not write more tonight, for I cannot think of anything just now, but of the glory of the Master. I am your old partner, Albert G. Riddle. I am here to tell you of my Master's glory. Heretofore, we have written you mostly of his love and beauty and humility, but said very little of his grandeur and the glory of his countenance when he permitted these attributes to appear in all their fullness and splendor. And this was reasonable, because until last night we had never seen this great brightness and glory. I'm in the celestial spheres, but he never before displayed the wonders of his love and powers to me or to others in my sphere, and neither to those in the lower spheres. But last night, oh, the glory of it, he came to you to write, and in doing so, when he told you what your mission is, he assumed the authority and power which are his, and there came into his countenance and very being that wonderful glory and brightness which made him a being from other spirits, apart. I have seen the glories of the celestial spheres in which I live, and they are so magnificent and wonderful that I have never been able to describe them to you. But they are as a mere shadow to the glory that surrounded and came from the Master when he appeared, as I say. We were spellbound, as you say, and could look upon him but for a moment only, and I can well imagine how his three disciples fell upon their faces at the time of the Transfiguration on the Mount. I cannot describe to you his grandeur and brightness, but your son would appear as a pale moonbeam in his presence. And how thankful that, the Paget Messages 1915, I saw him as he is, for it shows me what must be the wonderful glory and beauty of the sphere in which he lives, and to which I am striving to attain, and thanks be to God, the Master says I may become a dweller therein if I will only pray and have faith and let the divine love come into my soul in sufficient abundance. When I think of all the wonderful things that have centered around you in your communications with the spirit world, I simply have to wonder in amazement, and think why such things should be. The only explanation that I can give is that you are the special object of the Master's desire to have his work on earth carried forth in the way that he has declared. My dear son, you must not doubt again as to what you shall do in the way of performing the work of the Master. Your call is certain and you must believe, and believing, do with all your strength and the powers that will be given you, this great task. And let me say further, you must make it a work of love. Pray to the Father for faith and you will get it, and trust in the Master and you will never be forsaken. I cannot write more tonight, as I want to think of the wonderful scene of last night. Your own true and loving grandmother, Anne Rollins. I must say a word, for my heart is so filled with regret and remorse, and the recollections of my awful mistakes while on earth, that I must release my soul of its burdens so far as a confession can do it. I am Ingersoll, and I am not the agnostic any longer, but the most repentant believer in all God's spirit world, and one who now knows that Jesus Christ was and is the Son of God to the fullest meaning of the word. Oh, how glad I am that I came to you when I did, and that you caused me to seek the society of your band of beautiful and bright spirits who are filled with the divine love of the Father. For if I had not been with them I would not have witnessed the scene of last night and today be a believer in the Jesus, who I now know is the Savior of men by his wonderful love and knowledge of the truth. Well, my dear friend, such a scene as I witnessed last night was never witnessed on earth, except, as I now believe, by the three disciples of the Master at the Transfiguration on the Mount, and then I doubt if the glory was as great and the 220 brightness of the Master so blinding and magnificent as they were last night. I had seen the Master a number of times, and while to me he was the most beautiful and loving of all spirits and one to whom I was drawn in great affection, yet I had no conception of the other qualities or attributes of his which he displayed last night. And what must I think of you, a mere mortal as are thousands of others on earth, having a soul development to a certain degree, but not to that of any of the spirits in the soul spheres here, as I am informed, to be selected for the work of doing the Master's desires on earth, and having that selection declared or rather ratified by an occasion that made all the spirits present tremble with awe at the glory and power which were displayed by Jesus Christ, who I, on earth, proclaimed to be merely a good man. I tell you that you are wonderfully favored, not only in being selected to do his work, but in having that selection anointed, as it were, by such evidence of glory and godlike power as were shown last night. I had no conception of what the glory of God meant or what the power of God could mean, and least of all did I suppose that any spirit in all the spirit world could possibly possess such glory or manifest such power. But Jesus the Christ possesses the glory and power to such a degree as to make him almost godlike. As I said, I was present, and observed him as he wrote to you, and also what he wrote, and as he proceeded to tell you that he had selected you to do his work. He was the beautiful loving Jesus that he always is, as I had seen him. But as he proceeded and you doubted the possibilities of such things, and even to doubt if Jesus was really writing to you, there came into his countenance a wonderful look of authority and power and then the more wonderful brightness that outshone the noonday sun, and glory indescribable, and upon which none of us could look, and we fell prostrate to the earth, as you would say. Oh, I tell you, the power which emanated from him was beyond all conception, and the wondrous authority that appeared in his whole being was not possible of being withstood by either spirits or mortals, and we were filled with awe and admiration. When he had finished writing, the glory and brightness that I describe left him, and he again appeared the humble, loving but beautiful master, and before leaving us he gave us his blessings, and the Paget Messages 1915, to me came as great peace that passeth all understanding. I know now that Jesus is my Savior, and that the divine love of the Father is a real existing thing, and I am striving to obtain it. I believe in the new birth, and am praying for it, and your dear grandmother tells me that I will soon get it. So now I say to you, that you can declare to the world that Ingersoll the agnostic is no longer an agnostic, but a believer in the Father's divine love and in Jesus Christ his beloved Son, and the way and the truth and the life. I will not write more tonight, but when I shall have gotten my thoughts and feelings together, I will write you at large and tell you of what my soul says as to my future destiny. Well, thanking you for your kindness and for you having such a grandmother, and for such a Jesus, I am your friend, Robert G. Ingersoll. September 28, 1915. I am here, Helen. What a wonderful, happy night we have all had, you and Dr. Stone in the mortal life, and all the spirits in the spirit life. For I must tell you that your room has been filled with spirits of all spheres and conditions. Your reading of those messages accompanied by the power of the divine love caused such an emotion among the spirits here as I have never before seen since I have been writing to you. And best of all, the Master was with us, and his great love and glory seemed to fill the whole room and all our souls as well. I tell you, sweetheart, that heaven has been with us tonight, and Dr. Stone must not wonder that he felt the great power and influence which he speaks of, because never before has he been surrounded by such a host of celestial spirits as were with you all. Not the least interested and happy was his own sweet Mary, and her happiness was really beyond what I can tell you of. She was filled with love for him and with the divine love, and her love was glowing to him in great beams of light and joy. She wants to write a little, although she says that she is too full of the emotion which has taken possession of her to write very much. Mary now writes, "My dear soulmate, I am with you in all my love and longings, and you must believe that I am your own true soulmate, happy in the knowledge that you love me in return for all the great love of my soul which I send to you without one iota of reservation. You have my love and my great desires that you may be happy and contented in the 221. Knowledge that your Mary is all your own and not another's. She is with you so very much and tries to comfort and keep you from everything that will make you unhappy. Many times when things look a little dark, she comes to you with her love and whispers words of cheer, and tickles your ear to let you know she is with you. I am glad that your soul is open to the influence of not only the divine love of the Father, but to the love of the Master, for he loves you more than you can imagine, and is also with you very often, for he sees that you are in condition to become a follower of him, and that you will also be able to do his work in conjunction with your friend who writes. He is so gracious and loving and so wants you to learn of him and help spread his truths as he sees that you may do. I believe that he will soon write to you and tell you the way in which you may become his disciple also, for he sees that your soul is longing for the great love of the Father, which will make you a power also in making known the truths of God to mortals. I do not know just what you shall do, but I know that you will have a mission to perform and that the Master will be with you in all his love and power, blessing you until your life shall become a great peace and happiness. Oh, my dear Leslie, to think that you too will have such a special friend and loving Savior, and that our souls will have the possibility of becoming one in the great love of the Father, even while you are on earth. I must not write more tonight, but I must say that this night has been to me one of the happiest and soul-loving in all my spirit life. So think of me and write me a long letter tonight, and tell me of your love to me, and of your great desire to have me close to you. Good night, Mary." Helen writes, "Well, you can see what love can do. She loves him and the Master loves him and we all love him. What a happy meeting for us all. I must not write more tonight, but only say to you and to him too, pray more to the Father for his love, and for faith, and believe. I am yours forever in love, Helen." September 30, 1915. Let the worries go and bury themselves, and turn your thoughts and soul aspirations to God, for these are the things eternal, and those of the world merely temporary things. I say this, because I know, that if you will only pray to the Father and, the Paget Messages 1915, trust in the Master, you will realize that what I say is the truth, and can be understood and realized by mortals as well as by spirits. So my brother, try to look on these worries in that way. I am with you often, trying to help you and have you feel my influence and love. I will not write more, John Garner. I am here, John the Baptist. Let not your heart be troubled, believe in God and in the Master. This is as true tonight as it was when spoken by Jesus to his disciples many centuries ago. You are his disciple now just as certainly as were they, and while you cannot see him or hear his voice as they did, yet the words are just as emphatically spoken tonight as they were to the other disciples. You do not realize what love and what powerful influences are with you tonight, else you would let your worries flee to the winds and never return. I merely want to tell you this to let you see that there is another of the celestial spirits who knows that the Master's promises will be kept. I am not here because I want to encourage you merely, but because I want to tell you a fact, and fact it is, that you will soon be relieved of your worries. Go to God in prayer and you will find great consolation, as we have all found consolation in our troubles. And when on earth we had a great number who were persecuted, resulting in the death of many of us. But we had faith, and our faith and the love of the Master helped us over many rough places. I merely want to add another confirmation to those who have told you that you will be relieved of these worries. I will stop and say, that I am your brother in Christ, John the Baptist. Such are the thoughts of men when troubles arise. I can do nothing of myself, but will go to my Father and seek his aid, and the thoughts are true and the aid is certain. You are that man tonight, and you will not be disappointed, for you will find relief from your worries and the help that the Father shall bring to you. The Master is all love and you seem to be his favorite on earth, and you can rest assured that you will not be forsaken. I tell you this because I know from experience. I will not write more. I am, your brother in Christ, Barnabas, the Apostle. I am here too, and want to assure you that our love is all with you tonight, and we are trying to make you feel that you are not forsaken even though things look very dark and you see very little light. But the light will soon come, and with it a relief that will make you realize that the celestial world is with you in love and power. I see how worried you have been today and what a condition of helplessness possessed you. But we were with you then and were trying to help and encourage you with our influence. Trust in the Master, for he is more powerful than you think, and I know that he will give you the relief that you need. I will not write more tonight, but will say I am your brother in Christ, Luke. I am here, Jesus. Well, my dear brother and disciple, I am so glad that you are feeling so much better tonight and that your worries are not pressing so hard upon you as they were. What you received from Luke in his last message is true. The climax of your troubles have been reached, and from now onward you will find that relief will come to you, and that very soon you will commence to do that which will bring you such relief from your obligations that you will get into condition to do my work, and to give up your professional cares and devote your whole time to receiving the truths which shall save mankind from their sins and show them the way to the Father's love and to immortality. I will not write much tonight, but only say with all the emphasis of a conviction which knowledge gives me, that you will soon be free, and that you must believe, and must have faith in the Father's love and care for you, and must trust me with all the faith of your being, for I am the Jesus that represents the Father in all his works and plans for the salvation of man and for the redemption of the world from sin. I am not the Father which the book that you have been reading says. I am not, but am the beloved Son of the Father, and I have given to me all the power, and love, and knowledge which the Father thought best for me to have, and no other spirit has such a gift conferred upon him. So, trusting in my love, let your faith increase, and your worries leave you. With all my love, I'm your brother and friend, Jesus. 222, The Paget Messages 1915. I am here, John. I come to encourage you and tell you that your worries will soon leave you, for things will get better with you from now on and you will soon be free of the present burning needs. As the Master, who has just written you, says, Try to believe in what we tell you, for we are with you so very much, trying to help and comfort you. I know that things have looked very dark today and you do not see any relief at hand, but it will come, and that very soon, and then you will feel different from what you do now. I will not write more tonight, as you are not in condition to write very long. Well, I will say that you are now surrounded by the love and influences of a band of celestial spirits, all sending to you their best and kindest wishes as well as their love. I am now trying to make you feel my presence and love, and if you will open up your heart, you will realize that you are surrounded by love. We are many and all anxious that you feel our presence. You must pray to the Father more and ask for more faith. You will receive it and will be correspondingly strengthened. So let me say before I close that you are the special care of the Master, and his love for you tonight was something wonderful. He seemed to let all his love center on you, and I do not doubt that you felt its influence. I will stop now and say that you have my love and blessings. Your brother in Christ, John. When the Master said, "Feed my sheep," he not only meant that Peter and those to whom he was talking should feed the spiritual natures of those who should believe on him and try to belong to his fold, but he also intended that their material wants should be taken care of. And tonight he is saying the same thing. And as you are his sheep of special care and love, he intends that all the things that are necessary for your well-being shall be given you. So do not doubt at all, but believe that you will be looked after in all your times of need. He was so loving to you tonight that we were all somewhat astonished at the great love which we saw going to you, and thought how dear you must be to him. I have never seen him take such interest in any particular person before, and when you realize what his love and power are, you will be more astonished than were we. I see what your troubles are, and while they may seem mountains high to you, they are merely temporary and will soon pass away. So believe in 223, what the Master told you, and pray to the Father for love and faith. I will not write more, but will say God bless you. Your brother in Christ, John Wesley. I am here, Helen. Well, you have had the most wonderful consolatory messages that I have ever known to be given to any mortal. With what love the Master spoke to you and tried to comfort you. He is a precious Savior, and you seem so dear to him. Try to trust him and do as he says. These others are all celestial spirits, and are also much interested in you, and want you to get rid of your worries. You are sleepy and must go to bed. So with all my love I will say good night. Your own true and loving, Helen. October 1, 1915. I am here, Leighton. I wrote you once before at your office and was interrupted before I could finish. I merely want to say tonight that all the spirits who have written you about the magnificent power and glory of the Master, is true, and yet not half told. The revelation of that night makes an epoch in the spirit world. Those who witnessed it live. For it has been told to many spirits in many spheres, and Jesus is now the great center of interest to many spirits, who before looked upon him as a mere spirit like themselves. How wonderful that this display of power should have been made under the circumstances that accompanied it. Many spirits were present, from spheres which are not soul spheres, in which live believers of other religious faiths. You will hear much of this night for some time to come. And the results of the great scene will be felt in many places that never before have heard of or been interested in the teachings of the Master. I will not write more, so good night. Your brother in Christ, John Leighton. I am here, Saliba. I want to tell you that I was a witness the other night to the wonderful display by Jesus of his great power and glory, and what a wonderful demonstration it was. I never in all my long experience in the spiritual spheres saw anything that approached it, and no spirit in the highest intellectual sphere could for a moment show the great effulgence of light that Jesus did. So you see, I now know positively that the Master is the Son of God, and the Paget Messages 1915, has this divine love to a degree that, as I am informed, no spirit who was then present, except probably, some of the apostles, had any conception of. I am now convinced to the depths of my soul that the divine love of the Father is a real existing thing, and that it makes beautiful and godlike those who possess it. Now I shall strive harder than ever to get it, and the great happiness which I now know must be the experience of those who have this divine love to a great degree. I merely wanted to tell you this, because, as you know, I am one who a short time ago had never heard of this great love. So thanking you for your kindness, I am your sister in Christ, Saliba. White Eagle. I want to say that you are in a very good condition tonight and that a great spiritual power has been with you and made you stronger in your physical as well as in your soul condition. I have not written for a long time and I feel that I must say something. I was present and I was so astonished that I could not withstand the glory. It was wonderful and I am more convinced than ever that he is the true Son of the Father. Yes, there were a host of spirits present, and many of them not Christians, and the effect on them was surprising. They were awed by the brightness and magnificence of his presence, and I believe that many of them will become Christians. He is here and wants to be remembered to you. He is with you nearly all the time, watching over and protecting you. He seems to love you so very much, and since the night of the great transformation, he is proud that you are his charge. So you see, we are both glad that we have you for our special care. I am with you nearly all the time too, and love you very much. So think of me sometimes and love me. Your own true guide, White Eagle. I am here, your late friend, Perry. I want to tell you that I am in a condition of great darkness and suffering, and I am not able to find a way out of the darkness or to relieve myself from my tortures. I know that you may think it strange that I did not listen to Mr. Riddle when you brought him in contact with me a short time ago, but I could not believe what he told me, or understand in what way 224, the darkness would leave me by merely praying to God, and trying to believe that there is such a thing as divine love, which I might obtain by letting my belief in what he said become sufficiently strong to cause me to forget the recollections of my awful deed. I saw that he was a wonderfully bright spirit, and seemed to be so very happy in his condition of belief, but, nevertheless, I was not able to believe that it was the result of what he told me, and so, I am in the same condition that I was when I wrote you last. My friend, for such I believe you to be, or you would not be able to interest yourself in me as you have. I want to tell you that if I only again could shoot myself and by that means end my existence, I mean annihilate my spirit and soul, so that they would go into nothingness, I would gladly and quickly pull the trigger and send the bullet into that spot which would bring about the desired effect. But I realize now that I must continue to exist and to suffer for how long I don't know, but it seems to me forever and ever. Oh, why did I do such a thing? I had no occasion to take my life so far as earthly things were concerned, for I needed nothing of the material to make life satisfactory. Well, I will tell you. As you may know, I was, as I thought, something of a philosopher on earth, and to me life was a thing to retain or put off just as I might think it had served or not its purpose. And when I felt that I could no longer do any special good to the world or to those who were near to me, I thought that there was no reason why I should longer continue the life which was one of monotony in a certain sense. And besides, I felt that I had arrived at the height of my mental powers, and that they were on the decline, and the thought that I should decrease in what I had so striven to cultivate and display to my acquaintances, caused me to believe that the object of my creation had been fulfilled, and that I would gradually become not only an encumbrance, but a person to be looked upon with a kind of pity which would cause me much unhappiness. To have others point their finger at me and say, "There goes poor Perry, who used to be such a brilliant and capable man, and who is now a mere wreck of his former self intellectually. Isn't it a pity that such a man should come to a condition that he has come to?" These are some of the thoughts that entered my mind, and in addition, as I have told you, I thought that death was the end of all, and that in the Paget Messages 1915, the grave I would know nothing, and sleep in utter oblivion. These thoughts I fed on some little while before I decided to die, and the more I thought, the greater became my condition that what I had said would prove to be true. Just before I fired the fatal shot, I thought intensely of all these things, and saw that what I supposed would be an end to everything was the true solution of life's decay and to mental as well as to physical decrepitude. And when I prepared to do the deed, I was never more calm in all my life. It did not require any courage on my part, for conviction of the correctness of my conclusions was so strong that the question of courage was not a part of the equation. Men may think that courage is a necessity to commit suicide, But I tell you, I believe that courage or the want of courage forms no part of a man's condition of mind when he commits that deed. The mind forms its own conclusions as to the necessity or the desirability of doing the act, and every other consideration or reason is ignored.